Welcome back to another episode of Cayenne and Jane.
What a week. I'm sure you had exciting stuff happen.
A splendid week. Exquisite even. Anyways, talking about exquisite, something that some people would consider exquisite is marketing and how it affects the brain.
Yeah. I feel like our whole world is just pretty much advertising. Everything is advertising, even on the radio. What pays for those songs to be on there? Advertising. We sort of just accept it.
Most of the time when you see an ad, do you actually pay attention to it?
No, not really. I listen to the music, usually, like if it's on TV.
Exactly. Like it's most advertising's overlooked, but how come it works?
Yeah, right? How does that work? If we're not actually paying attention and it's mainly just background noise whenever we see advertising or just a poster that we're walking past, how does it work?
And that's when this thing that we're talking about today comes in. Neuromarketing.
Neuromarketing's really interesting, I think. It's like taking science and people's emotions and the slight little changes that happens when they see something they like and putting the data behind it.
And using it against them.
Yeah, so they buy more things. So basically, it involves scientifically observing brainwave activity, eye tracking, and skin response to understand how people's brains react to different ads and brands' messages. These can help predict consumer decision-making behavior by studying the brain's responses.
So you think this kind of sounds like some scurry shit.
It does.
Yeah, it does. But there are benefits, apparently. I want to know if an advertiser wrote this. So we're quoting from techtarget.com, so courtesy of them. Cheers, bro. They have something called granular insight. So this is one of the benefits. So it offers detailed insights into consumer behaviors compared to the traditional market research methods like, you know, surveys, focus groups, etc. So basically it like goes in and sees how the consumer's preferences and emotions are like affected using data and providing precise moment by moment insights into how the customer feels and may react.
So basically it's just like seeing how they react.
Yeah.
Straight up. There's also honest feedback because customers can't lie in a neuromarketing context. Under oath. These methods generate more reliable data. Just asking a person how they feel about something can change their feelings. Neuromarketing bypasses this problem, it generating objective results that a traditional customer satisfaction survey cannot provide.
They also do something called subconscious revelations. This approach can reveal insights into the subconscious mind and short responses that people generally do not remember. See what I mean? This is some screw shit.
It is. It's also cost effective. Neuromarketing can lower the price and increase the value of market research.
And they also have holistic strategies. So like neuromarketing can be paired with traditional methods for a more holistic approach to marketing research. So what do? They just get people in a room, hook them up to these big machines and make them watch ads? Like what the
hell? Right? Heck? That's scary. So there are some criticisms though, like the bad side of neuromarketing, manipulation. There's a debate about whether neuromarketing is manipulative. Critics like Gary Ruskin warn that it could exploit consumers' fears or influence neural responses. However, marketers argue that the goal is to understand how and why customers form relationships with products, brands, and companies, not to manipulate them.
Exactly. And that's my biggest thing is this all feels like it's manipulative.
Yeah, right? It's like a recipe for disaster. It's like when AI is like, oh, can you point out the pictures of the dog so I can learn more information? So why would I want to... I don't want you to know what a dog actually looks like.
Yeah, show them a chicken.
Yeah.
Another thing is pseudoscience. Big words, look at us. So neuromarketing is frequently associated with pseudoscience. So if you don't know what pseudoscience is, it basically means like ideas that appear scientific but lack proper scientific evidence and methodology. What they're saying is it appears like it's really smart but it's actually just all bullshit. So people like this guy from University of Pennsylvania, Joseph Tarrow, called it a gimmicky approach used by marketers to understand consumer opinions. I almost read that as onions.
Also, people are saying that there's just no new information you can get from these sort of things. Critics are saying that neuromarketing uses science to explain in a more complex way what should just be something that we know, like intuition. They say it simply validates things marketers already know about consumers, like they know they're going to look at a certain part of the product.
Yeah, I feel like it's just for plebs that don't understand basic human interaction, because how do you not know that, like, with a little bit of basic like market research or just like reading a book, you can find out that people look at somebody's eyes. That's the first thing somebody does, is their eyes.
Yeah, right? Doesn't take much. Like, once you've done the research, I feel like it's done, right? You know all you can know.
Yes. So neuromarketing, we've gone over the pros and cons. Now we're going to talk about the tools and how they do it all. What neuromarketing does typically is that it measures the brain activity and other physiological signals. So two main tools that are used for brain scans are the following. An fMRI, so this one tracks the blood flow with continuous measurements. It is precise and a good tool for tracking activity deep in the subcortical regions of the brain.
They also use an electroencephalogram, or an EEG, much easier. So an EEG uses sensors that are placed on a person's scalp and it tracks changes in brain activity. It's also useful for tracking brain activity really quickly in fractions of a second. And while EEG is less precise than the fMRI, it's generally less expensive. fMRIs cost millions of dollars, while EEGs cost tens of thousands. Well, isn't that lovely?
Why don't they just do like a simple survey and offer like a free like lollipop or something? Right? See, that's cheaper.
Like SurveyMonkey's free, isn't it?
Exactly. So not only are there those tools for the brain, there's also tools for measuring the physiological proxies for brain activity. Some examples include the following. Eye tracking. They show, see where your eye goes. and it can tell you like where most people look. for example, they usually look at the person's eyes. And then also facial coding. So this basically reads the tiny little facial muscle movements to figure out how someone feels about something and analyze. What if they have Botox?
True. Their face won't move. They need to do a study with a bunch of people with Botox.
Yeah. And they're all going to just say everybody's unhappy.
Yeah. Everyone's a robot. Some really well-known examples of neuromarketing was the Pepsi paradox, which happened back in 2003, where they used fMRI to investigate if subjects knew what they were drinking and whether they liked Coke and Pepsi better or equally. And most people said that they liked them equally. But then when they knew that one was Coke and one was Pepsi, more started siding with the Coke than the Pepsi. But originally, when they didn't know about them, they liked them equally.
Yeah, Coke.
Yeah, Coke.
And then 4 years later, they decided to do the whole shebang again. This guy got all these people to taste three wines. They all had different prices. And the brain scans sensed an indicated preference for the most expensive wine, even though all three were identical. In another study using the fMRI, it was actually found that the timing of price display affects how consumers mentally calculate value. So when the price is shown before the product, the brain engages in a one calculation focused on the product's worth, while showing the price after the product exposure leads to a different calculation centered on the product preference. So basically, product now, price later.
Yeah.
See, those people that shop without looking at the price tag, they have got their shit together.
They do. I've tried that and it's very expensive. So some other examples of neuromarketing include, like, they cover a lot of interesting areas, I think. Like hormone influence. One study found that increased testosterone in men leads to a stronger desire for luxury goods, reflecting a drive for status.
They also do sleep experiments too. Have you ever had a sleep study done?
No.
Oh my god, it's so cool. Yeah, I got it when I was a little kid because I was like a little shit and didn't sleep. Yeah, they put like all the little, the EEG, they put that on my head.
You did the EEG?
Yeah.
What?
I'm literally worth thousands of dollars.
You are. Oh my god. Look at you.
So basically, in these sleep experiments, they are simulated during sleep phases. In one case, they are introduced to gross smells like rotten eggs to reduce smoking habits.
I wonder if it worked.
I wonder if they can control how the brain sleeps. Like, can they be like, you're in REM?
And it's like, okay.
Ariana Grande reference.
There's also neural control. Scientists use techniques like transcranial magnetic stimulation. Jesus. to temporarily excite or inhibit brain regions. For example, inhibiting the brain's fear and disgust reactions can make people less reactive to insects and more open to eating insect-based foods.
Yeah, fuck out here with that. I've never eaten insect food.
No, ew.
Imagine, let's grab some roast cockroach down at the deli.
Yum, yum, yum.
Like, the fuck?
Crunchy.
So hearing all this, it sounds scary, right?
Mm.
And you may be thinking to yourself, does neuromarketing work?
Do you think it works?
I'm confused, to be honest with you. Because it feels like I'm with the critics.
Mm.
It's just all common sense. You don't need to like scan people's brains to do this shit. It's just nerdy people with nothing to do.
Right? I don't think we needed to do the Coke and Pepsi thing either. Oh,
that is kind of funny though.
It is cool.
Okay, maybe it does work. I just want like that. You know, but like the funny stuff. Like, we should do like Rimmel versus L'Oreal.
Yeah. We should just bring in like different brands of things and start tasting them on the podcast.
Tap water versus filtered water.
Yeah.
I could tell you the difference. I have a refined palate.
Of course.
Anyways, so people often argue that neuromarketing doesn't provide groundbreaking insights just like we did. And they basically question whether it's necessary to use brain data just like we did. Apparently, some marketers actually rely on their gut instincts, believing that's enough to evaluate an ad's effectiveness. Smart people.
Mm.
However, this oversimplifies neuromarketing. It's not just about comparing good or bad. See, these people are now getting defensive of their tens of millions of dollars. So apparently, today, neuromarketing offers much, much more. It can help brands decide if an ad is better suited for platforms like YouTube or Twitch. Importantly, all of these ties back to revenue. Brands that focus on key memory encodings see an 86% increase in sales. The use of neuromarketing is on the rise with a reported 16.3% average revenue boost among brands that embrace it. It's the only customer research method that accurately predicts the purchase intent. Why do they want to implant a product in my brain?
Right. And isn't it creepy that you can like talk about it something and then an ad will come up on your feed for that thing? It's like, is that part of this?
Yeah. And I feel like also with the deciding on what platform to use it, like common sense.
Right.
You gotta know your audience. What's exactly your audience? You want to market a gaming computer? Put it on fucking Twitch, you dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
So let's talk about the future of neuromarketing. So while neuromarketing and consumer neuroscience are gaining traction, they're still considered pretty new in terms of this sciencey field, and partly because the technology is really pricey and still evolving. But as it becomes more affordable and more accessible, more companies are going to probably embrace these methods if they haven't already. Looking ahead, virtual reality, or VR, is expected to play a big role in neuromarketing. Like, imagine a VR headset combined with an EEG device for neurological data collection, which would be a cost-effective alternative to traditional EEG machines that cost so much money. And this could also make it easier for consumers to take part in research. That would be interesting if they just like equipped all VR sets with it and started taking people's brain thought stuff through that.
It kind of reminds me of a really fucked TV show I've watched.
Yeah.
When they get trapped in this video game, and if they die in the video game, they die IRL. And I feel like there's also a Black Mirror episode about it.
Yeah.
So VR devices, right, they might feature eye trackers to follow what the customers are focusing on, but eye tracking and facial recognition can also just become common in retail restaurants, enhancing their overall customer experience. I don't think it's enhancing though.
Mm-hmm. Not at all. It's creepy.
Well, it's like your phone looks at your face.
And even like supermarket cameras can now detect your face.
And if you're stealing, you're like, oh, she's stealing.
Another very futuristic thought that people are throwing out there is that VR contact lenses that measure pupil dilation when people view ads, offering even more insight into consumer reactions. Imagine if they could put this into contact lenses.
But after reading all of that, what are your kind of thoughts?
I think it's crazy how much marketing actually, like how expensive it is, first off, to do all of this research, and then how much of this research heaps of companies have put into effect, like, and how many things around us, they know that we're going to look straight at that sun and that's why they put like a certain logo there or something. Well, they know that we're going to like that song because it's a throwback for all of the people that would be consuming it now. I just think it's crazy how like deep it goes.
Yeah, it's just so crazy like that. These companies are so desperate to get you to buy their product that they will literally go to the point of manipulating you.
Mm.
Like, that's so scary.
It is scary.
I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
See, my thing is, right, if you are in a person that is going to release something, just make it good and people will buy it. Word of mouth.
Right?
That is the most important thing. Word of mouth and people's opinions.
Why do you got to trick us? Like, we'll get it if it's good, okay?
Yeah. Like, rather than spending all that money on marketing, why don't you spend it on the quality?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And they come out here, reckon that they're trying to tackle this and tackle that when they've made a profit.
Yeah.
Shut up. Shit. It is really scary though, seeing all of that and just thinking like, what has our world come to? But also in this digital age, like, it doesn't surprise me. So that's the neuroscience, neuromarketing. We are actually sciences now. So you know how like we go to Harvard and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And like Harvard is always calling us. We literally are Harvard now.
We are certified Harvard.
Exactly. Like Yale next.
Yep, that's the next one.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be there.
So thank you for listening to this Harvardacious.
You're welcome.
Podcast. Yes.
Be careful what you consume.
Yeah, and now you're going to be hyper aware of everything.
Yeah.
You're going to like hear a certain song and you're going to be like, they fucking implanted that in my brain.
They knew.
But now you can clock all the companies.
You can.
And when you're aware, I feel like it makes it less effective. So now you're aware. We're spreading awareness. Look at us. We're doing God's work.
We are. Spreading the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Got a bit inspirational at the end.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Kyan and Jay.
Yay.
I don't think I'm ever going to stop doing the intros and outros like that.
Yeah, I think it's part of
it. Yeah, yeah. So if you enjoyed this week's episode, please send some love. Follow us on our social media, Kyan Jade Podcast, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
We're everywhere.
Literally everywhere. We're going to start using neuromarketing.
Yeah, we'll get you.
We'll see you next week. Friday time.
Bye.